I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, you're listening to the Guitar Nerds Podcast, a podcast for guitar lovers. But if you're truly madly deeply in love with guitars, why not head over to patreon.com/guitar nerds and enjoy not only a weekly Patreon special, but also the Hall of Fame podcast. This week, it's my go to bring a bottle to the party. Have it all. patreon.com/guitar nerds. Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast. I am your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by a solo Mark Packham.
I like to do it.
Yes. Oh, for goodness sake. Yes, that's right. We are Jay Crossless and Matt Knightless this week. It is just
Jay Crossless Panties.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yes, it is. It is just you and me on the podcast, Mark. We're alone, just the two of us. The best ones, the host and the ex-host together.
I don't know if you're trapped in here with me or I'm trapped in here with you. Mm. Could be either.
It could be. We're also podcasting at Mark Packham's house today.
Different, mixing it up.
Yes.
We're seeing if you can have an allergic reaction to the cats.
Yeah, I'm allergic to Mark's cats and I forgot to bring antihistamines, so we're on borrowed time.
It'd be interesting to see how far you actually make it through this podcast before we have to give up.
Yes, I think towards the end of this podcast it's... Excuse me, yes, it's going to be quite interesting, but... Surprisingly enough, we actually have a ton of new stuff, and we had some cool stuff turn up this week. And you're preparing for a gig at the moment, which means you've been doing the rare thing, which is actually playing musical equipment in between coming on the podcast and talking about it.
I play musical instruments all the time. It's just not that often that I get to plug them into an amplifier and play them at gig volume.
Right, sure.
I had a band practice this week, so I've got a gig coming up in the next couple of weeks. So went to a local rehearsal room, and normally they have either Mark bass or Ampeg there. So usually I use like a little Mark or use the best bass amp, the SVT Classic.
SVT 450, which is, listener, if you're not aware of the SVT 450,
they're great.
It's not great. It was a solid state. Is it even solid state? Is it digital? Is it class D?
No. They're just solid state.
Right. Okay. So it's a solid state Ampeg amplifier put in the chassis of an SVT Classic. But of course, there are no valves. So if you look at the back of the amp, it's just this tiny little bit where the actual amplifier is, and then all this space. It's just a lie. It's a lie, and that's my problem with it.
They do look good though. They look great, and they sound good, and they're not particularly heavy.
They sound terrible. Whenever I have to use them, I practically have to shut down the treble, and I think I have to like max out the bass just to get it to sound like
that's
flat.
That's what you want, though. You want the top end. If you're getting the amp, you're getting it because you want the top end.
So rubbish. And it has like a built-in 12-band graphic EQ, which, of course, no one's ever wanted ever.
I think they're actually 7-band, but...
Oh, 7-band.
Yeah, yeah. So I used to have... this is a bit of a tangent from what we're going to talk about. The combo version of that circuit. I think it was as loud as that.
Wasn't it the B-series?
Yeah, I used to have a B2, which was the 15-inch combo. It sort of looked a little bit like a washing machine, which was awesome. And then I had a 210 extension cab for it. And that's honestly one of the best bass sounds I've ever had.
Almost definitely wasn't. But they were good. That was like a time when Ampeg B-series combos were popular on lots of backlines and actually sounded pretty good.
Yeah, I think that kind of period for Ampeg is actually pretty good, pretty solid. I much prefer that to the Porter Flex of recent years.
Well, the Porter Flex is...
It's pretty unusable. To be honest.
I thought they sounded all right when they worked. I mean, I was a massive fan of them mainly because on the last Mars Volta tour, which would have been the Nocturnicut tour, Juan Alderete started using Porter Flexes.
Yeah,
he was using two of the 500 watt Porter Flexes into four tens. And for that reason, I think I gave them time of day. But I also appreciate that he could have had a new one at every show.
Sure, sure.
So, for when they went down.
Just a whole truck full of brand new Porter Flexes
exactly.
Ready to replace them. Anyway, so normally Ampeg or Mark Bass, which would be my two preferences for bass amps, but this time around there
was... You couldn't pick two things there that could sound more different as well.
Yeah, but the way that I set up a Mark Bass, I can make it sound Ampeg-y. I can get my sound out of pretty much anything. But this time around, there was an amp from a company no longer with us. I don't think they're around anymore.
No, they're not.
Gensbenz.
Yes.
So let me just see if I can find some history for
Gensbenz. So Gensbenz, as you reminded me before, they were acquired by Fender.
Yeah.
And shortly after liquidated. And actually, the story behind the very amplifier that you played was that about 6 years ago, I think because Fender had acquired them, GAC got offered like a bulk load of Gensbenzes, like a couple of combos and I think two or three sizes of heads. And we got them in and I was really into them. And then Jimmy, the guy who was running Brighton Electric...
Yeah.
Although it might have not been Jimmy at that time. Well, one of the guys from Brighton Electric got hold of me and were like, yeah, I think they'd just bought Little Mark 250s. They bought some of those. And
a great amp.
Really didn't like them.
A great amp.
Really unreliable, really breaky.
Yeah, the 250, not a great amp.
That was
actually
the first time, I think, that Mark Bass had outsourced. I think the first time they weren't Italian made. And whilst Mark Bass have a fantastic rep, I think just as a rehearsal studio for a place where this amp's going to be on for, 10 hours of every day.
It's not ideal.
They weren't finding these 250s were especially ideal, nor were they finding that they especially held up in sort of two guitar bands.
Yeah, yeah. So the 250s were weird because they were just the Little Mark, but with a 250 watt amp rather than the 500 watt amp of the regular one.
Yeah.
And the 250, I don't know, you know, we've talked about before about how the kind of Class D amps sound a bit choked, and that I find that particularly the case when they're underpowered. So the 250, yeah, I can imagine not holding up. Anyway,
have gone off back to the end.
Back to the original story.
Yes. So they contacted me and were like, what amps should we get? And I was like, these Gensbenzes, they're fantastic. And so now, 6 years on from that day, is the first time. See, isn't that a testament to that amplifier?
Well, yeah, the fact that it's lasted 6 years. But
I mean, there is only one there and I did sell them about five.
Okay, fine. I didn't realise. So they were actually... The original company was Jeff Gensler, who was the him and his wife basically started the company.
Oh, that's not. I thought it was the amplifier arm of Mercedes-Benz.
That I don't think is how it works. So they must have started. So this website was built in 2012. What's 2012 minus 25?
Minus 2012 minus 25 would be 97 minus. Would you say 25? 77?
Yeah, 1977.
Yeah.
Basically, they started the company then. And then pretty shortly after this, in 2012, they were bought out by Fender. And as you say, Fender sort of ran with it for a while. And then I think some of the tech kind of got folded into Fender's other stuff. And the Gensbenz name was retired. Anyway, so my experience of this amp at the weekend... It was loud enough for the job.
Yes.
But the EQ on the amp was probably the hardest EQ to get a decent sound out of I've ever experienced.
If you like high mids, then the Gensbenz is...
That was the problem. So
you know what they remind me of is... what's that brand that Flea plays that like no one else plays? Galey and Kruger.
Yeah.
That's what they remind me of.
So I like to think with my bass playing.
Tweetery.
Yeah, I like to think with my bass playing and my bass in particular, I can always get my sound out of anything. Like, I can get my sound out of an Ampeg, I can get out of a Mark bass, I can get out of definitely a Gallien and Kruger I've played before, and I can definitely get my sound out of those. My sound is kind of grindy with loads of bottom, loads of top, and I just generally leave the mids fairly flat. So I'd say it's not... it's a very modern bass sound, but the fact that the P bass has got over-accentuated mid-range means that I think it fills out a lot of the frequency spectrum. What I was finding with the Gens Benz was that I just couldn't figure out the mids at all. So it had it's four-band EQ, bass treble, parametric mid, so mid-frequency and then a mid-level. And then also it had three levels of shelving. So it had
didn't
bass,
it have that on
treble,
like a
and mid.
Switches
Which is pretty common. You know, Ampeg do that a lot with their stuff. So it was bass shelf, treble shelf, and then a mid-scoop. I just couldn't get it to sound... anyway, and I was even doing that thing where you boost the mid level all the way up and then you sweep the filter, like the frequency. So it was doing that, right. The, like kind of wah sound. And there was just no frequency on there where it sounded good. I couldn't get the mid range to sound good. And for me, that's the first time for a very, very long time I've experienced that with a bass amp.
They are 100%. Not designed with punk rock in mind, or like rock in mind.
Yeah, but
they're very
that,
funky,
though.
Glittery, clean.
You say that
it's
though.
It's all
but
about this. Any amp that has an option to mid scoop on it is quite specifically designed for metal.
I understand that, but also at the same time, they've got a preamp gain and volume, and a master volume. So I assume the idea was that you could drive the front end to get a kind of grindy sound out of it. But I can understand. I couldn't get the mids. I couldn't get them to behave in the way that I wanted, and I'd never experienced that. Well, certainly not of an amp of that quality. If I was looking at a Laney practice amp or whatever, then yeah, perhaps I wouldn't be able to get the sound. But I just couldn't. It was infuriating, absolutely infuriating.
Well, fortunately, there aren't too many of them about. So,
true. Yeah, you know, it's quite a redundant topic to open the show with, really. But give me Ampeg, give me Mark bass any day, and that's what my bass sounds like.
But not, Mercedes-Benz, stick to cars. That's the moral of this story.
Yes.
Anyway, this week we've also had a few more fun things turn up for us to have a butcher's at. Considerations for... well, they're actually just stuff for us to look at, but considerations for Gear of the Year.
Yeah, so just a bit of an explanation how we're running Gear of the Year this year. We're almost running it as kind of a year-long thing. Rather than, it gets to December the 1st and we're recording on December the 6th. And
which is how it normally
works. Yeah, and then we scrabble around going through all of the posts on Facebook, all of like Premier Guitar and Music Radar to see, go back through all the press releases and go back through any press releases we've got. We're actually kind of keeping on top of it throughout the year this year, which is good because it means that
we're not going to miss anything.
Well, when something gets announced, we're just contacting the company and saying, can we hear this? So we make sure that we've heard as many products as possible for Gear of the Year. And the format of Gear of the Year, I think this year might be a bit different. So.
Yeah, because we're going to introduce the power supply only category.
There is the line dancing section where you three have to kind of fight it out. I set up a line dance.
Yeah.
And then you each get a product that you're representing.
Right.
And the first person to fail in a line dance move.
Is it like an interpretive line dance of that product?
No. It's a global line dance that I sort of represents the year's gear.
I see.
And then you'll represent a piece of gear that you've selected. And the first person to forget a part of the dance then gets eliminated and it's the last man standing.
That's
and that is
good.
How we're picking Gear of the Year this year. Yeah. So, there will be some new categories and stuff, but, we're a long way off from this. But what it is meaning is that hopefully we'll get to play a lot more stuff this year because we're keeping on top of things as they get announced.
Yes, absolutely. And some of that cool stuff is we've had a couple of pedals turn up this week. One of the ones that I was most excited about was the Rocket Surgeon, Nordstrand Audio Rocket Surgeon Ice Caves.
So Nordstrand I know from primarily pickups. Bass pickups, but it seems like they do guitar pickups as well.
Yeah, they certainly do.
And they've also got this offshoot, which is Rocket Surgeon, which is their pedals, like boutique-y pedals.
Yeah.
So have you had a chance to plug this in?
So I have, yeah. So the Ice Caves, as you might guess, is from the name, is a reverb pedal, but it's also a delay. In fact, you it has sort of like a level depth echo and brightness. Brightness is quite unique on there, but those are like your conventional controls, I guess. Your more standard things.
When it's brightness, is that like bringing in like a shimmer?
See, no, okay. It's not. Think of the brightness as sort of analog sounding delay tails through to it's sort of, if you think of the name Ice Caves, and like the backstory to this pedal is literally that the designer went to see these Ice Caves somewhere. Dachstein,
in Austria. Glacier in Austria.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, and you know, the whole idea of this pedal is it's supposed to represent that sort of cavernous, you know, massive sound. So I guess the sort of having no definition to the echoes is kind of quite quintessential of that sort of natural sounding reverb. So yeah, it's that sort of thing. But the fifth control is really where it gets interesting. The fifth control is the ice control, which is a rotary.
Interestingly, then, like the rest of the knobs on the pedal are white and this one is like clear, like ice.
Yeah, this one's clear and glows blue and also pulsates as well, depending on what setting you have. Because you also have like a three-way toggle called ambience, where you are selecting between delay, reverb, or you're just having it off. The middle position is off and gives you a more conventional tone.
So if you set this as reverb, you're basically adding reverb to the reverb.
That sort of thing. Well, on reverb, it's kind of like, I can only describe this by using a sound that I make with my mouth.
Always good.
Yeah. So if you have it on reverb, it kind of goes, when you, if you were to like hit your guitar, make a little chop noise. Yeah. It
would what noise?
You know, on your guitar strings, it would go.
So I just wanted to check the clean tone before we do the full demo.
Yeah, that's the clean tone. So you've done that on your strings and it would go.
Okay, interesting.
So instead of chop, you get.
But do you get the chick as well?
Yeah, well, yeah, but sort of like.
Right, sort fine. And then if you have that on delay, what does it kind of sound does it make? Right, fine. So
you're choosing between. Or, sorry, more. And.
Okay, fine. That makes sense.
Yeah,
I know that's a very stupid way to describe it.
I'm
telling you. That makes complete sense to me.
It's kind of like, it's almost like having that ice setting on it is making it clip. Is like giving this, because it sounds like it's clipping. It sounds like you've put way too much on. And to be honest, like I do find when as soon as you turn this on, the whole pedal becomes quite unwieldy.
Unwieldy,
yeah. And you can mess around with the depth and echo like you would on like an analog delay and almost get some dive bombs out of there, but sort of with more reverby tones. You can move around the note essentially.
Nice.
By manipulating the echo, and then the depth obviously is just the depth is the volume of that effect. But man, I thought it was really super cool. And it's $199 pedal, and for if you're looking for a weird reverb, I was like setting it quite subtly, like quite low in the mix, but because you can make it low in the mix but still make the sounds quite crazy and expressive.
Yeah.
And it's just a really nice it's really nice to have underneath anything as just something filling out sound. I thought it was an absolutely fantastic pedal, but you know, you guys will need to check it out. And listeners, if you ever get the opportunity to try one, if you're looking for like a reverb that does something different, I think the Ice Caves is super cool.
$199, by the way. So it's
that's
the most.
I said.
So they do. Oh, I didn't hear you say that. So they do a range of pedals. We should just quickly talk about them. The Astro Rocket Overdrive. The Black Hat Fuzz. Oh no, codename Black Hat Fuzz. And the Boris Fuzz for the People, which has got a kind of like Soviet vibe to it. That's the guitar pedals, and they also do some bass pedals as well. They do a bass preamp, DI, which I guess is kind of
quintessential, really. Everyone needs one of them.
Well, a Sans Ampy, I guess, $349. And that's it, because the other bass pedal, which was described as the Serotone mood-altering bass fuzz, has now sold out. So. Yeah, but interesting company. Obviously, you know the pedigree of Nordstrand, and the pedals look great.
Yeah,
and by all accounts, or your account, sound great.
Yeah, super cool. The other pedal we got through was the Dirty Haggard Audio.
Was this named after you? Dirty and Haggard.
Maybe. Maybe. So this is like, this is your classic, this is a Portland, Oregon company. So this is like a hipster effects.
Okay.
You know, for once, you know, it's full sort of the Tone Mob, Blake Wyland,
okay,
like territory of effects. But it's like that sort of, you know, Portland boutique pedal, cool artwork. It's called this one's the DH2, the Death Fuzz. And it's their second fuzz, which where they've modified some of the circuit. Awesome, like cool skull decal on the front. I love that the foot switch is slightly offset and that the controls are sort of offset on the other side. It's really cool looking anyway. I really like it. And it does, for fuzz, it does two things that I really like.
Okay.
It does both fuzz sounds.
Okay, good.
Well, because fuzzes are either modern, they're either like a fuzz factory or they're a Big Muff.
Yeah. Because
there are only two fuzz sounds.
Sure.
So you're either one or the other.
Yeah.
And I really like that this one does both. Because, of course, what is the difference between a fuzz factory and a Big Muff?
Just like transistors.
A noise gate. That's the difference.
Pedals and that.
Well, no, it's just a gate. A gate on the fuzz. That's the fundamental difference between modern and traditional sounding fuzz. And this one has a gate that you can just flick on and off. And it's remarkable, like, as soon as it's off, you've got this big, like, vintagey Jimi Hendrix fuzz tone. And as soon as it's on, you've got, like, I mean, it was so spluttery. It's so, you know, I love when you use a fuzz and you turn down, like, just notch down the volume on your guitar a little bit so that the fuzz struggles to process that signal. And you get, it really starts to cut out and sound like you're sort of just pulling the jack in and out of your guitar.
It's, you get that broken battery sound.
Yeah, exactly. It's brilliant. And this was fantastic, you know, for that sort of thing. I always find it difficult to judge fuzzes because, A, there are so many. Like, the market is so completely full of fuzzes.
Yeah.
And B, like, a fuzz either sounds bad or good. If it sounds bad, you know, fine, whatever. But if it sounds good, I find it impossible to then rate it against other fuzzes because there's not, like, a scale.
I find it, out of all the effects, it's the most subjective, which is a kind of strange thing to say, but I think there's quite a lot of consensus around modulation stuff. So good chorus, I think most people kind of recognise that as good chorus. So good phaser, people kind of recognise it as good.
Well, it's because the difference is good and cheesy, isn't
it? Whereas with a fuzz, some people like bad sounding fuzz, if that makes sense.
And by bad sounding, do you mean like what I was discussing?
Kind
like
of, yeah.
Super gated, a bit ring moddy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, even this pedal, the DH2, this is modelled after the Shinai fuzz, companion fuzz. And those traditionally have, like, I don't know, you know, if you just plug one in now, most people would, to the kind of non trained ear, most people would be like, that sounds bad.
Right.
Sure. This actually does a few different things. So it's got filter control in there, which means that you can kind of mitigate the mid scoop that the companion fuzz has.
Right.
And obviously the gate is in there as well. And yeah, I think fuzz is a tough one. I'll be really interested to hear this because bad fuzz can be good fuzz. And the other way around, good fuzz can be inappropriate. I want to hear what the DH2 sounds like.
Yeah, I thought it was super cool. I can't remember what I was playing it through. I think I just ran it through a bass 6, actually.
Everything for you is bass 6 at the moment, I'm not
surprised. It's the only, in my office, I've only got the bass 6 and my ES-175 out, and I didn't think the ES-175 was the most appropriate thing to try a fuzz through.
No, it's not the most, it's too subtle for the fuzz.
Well, it's just too big and hollow.
Yeah.
And also, I've never restrung it.
Well, hasn't it got flats on it?
No, it's not got flats.
Oh, it feels like it's got flats on it.
Yeah.
Because you've never restrung it.
I've never restrung
it,
and it's in D standard.
Yeah, probably best that we don't demo stuff with that.
Yeah, probably. I should stick some flats on it. I think that's a good idea.
No, that just means I can't play it.
Hmm. Yes, that's true. Also, we've had some guitars turn up as well.
Talking about things I can't play.
these guitars are so wonderfully, like, wonderfully inappropriate for the four of us.
Yeah, completely.
Yeah, so we were speaking to Court just before Gear of the Year, And because listener, if you heard, I can't remember when it was a few months ago now, we did like a, it might have been a Patreon actually, I can't remember, where I think we sort of discovered that Court had a massive catalogue of guitars, and well, some of them were pretty cool.
I think we've always known that, it's just that before, the massive catalogue of guitars has been, here's 20 slightly different variations of the Les Paul, here's 20 slightly different variations of Tellys.
That was right, because we were talking about other companies, like we were talking about like Vintage, and what's the other one?
There's quite a few if you start.
I can't remember, but we were talking about companies like that, companies that don't especially have an identity, but instead make
solid stuff.
Yeah, that's pretty conventional. When we were talking about Core, and it was only when we checked out their website, we were like, oh, there's tons of stuff, and some of it is actually really cool.
Yeah.
And of course, Core have an excellent reputation for making well-built guitars because it's all. A lot of it is out of the same factory that you're seeing, like PRS SEs come from.
No, it's out of their own factory.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. No, Court, for years have been making their own stuff.
Sorry. Yes, of course. I'm saying the wrong thing. Court are producing the Sterlings for Music Man.
I don't know if that's true, but that could well be true.
It is.
Okay, fine. And yeah, their stuff's always been really high quality. But, you know, I'm on the website now. If I go to Electric Guitars, and I go to, there's quite a lot of kind of Strats and Tellys, although they do make that Sunset TC, which is the...
Oh, yeah, remember.
Les Paul Junior shape.
But it's bolt-on.
Bolt-on.
And it's
P90. It's relicked. P90 in the neck, Telly pickup in the bridge.
That's so cool.
It looks amazing.
It comes in two colours, and they're awesome. It comes in like a butterscotch, or it comes in like a vintage white.
Oh, it looks amazing.
Yeah, it is great. I just wish it wasn't bolt-on, though.
But I think if you want Tele pickup in the bridge, you want bolt-on.
It is really cool. I think it was more money than we wanted it to be. I think it was like
$450. I need to look into that because they look
like
awesome. Just to sum up, they make a ton of stuff that is like Les Pauls. You know, the CR series, which are basically Les Pauls. They do like a studio and a standard. They do, obviously, the Manson guitars, but they've also extended the kind of Matt Bellamy design over to just like a regular Tele. And apart from that, you know, tons of it is just Gibson and Fender style guitars. But what we've discovered recently is that they do way more than that.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I think when we contact them... We evidently weren't specific enough about the fact that we're really into like the Sunset Tea.
I think we just said to them, Gear of the Year's coming up. What do you want to send us? Send us something that you want to recommend.
We should never have given them the choice. They made the right choice for them because it's definitely the guitars that they're pushing. But as instruments that we've got to play and review, it was not. So the other day turned up their KX500 MS, which is a... green burst sported maple 7-string fan fret double active EMG mono bridged, you know, super strap total sort of metal guitar.
It's not much of a guitar nerd's guitar I say guitar nerds, I mean the brand name guitar nerds, not people who are interested in guitars. Like I said, I don't think I would know how to play this.
It's absolutely fantastically built. So it's like a gorgeous three neck sort of maple walnut sort of construction, and like the top is lovely. Like there's sort of as like a satin spalt burst finish. It's the sort of thing that Ibanez are charging twice the price for.
Yeah,
and it's those are real EMGs in there. Sort of not, you know, not a knockoff, and you know, and the fan fretting's not an especially easy thing to do and keep the price down on. That's why there are so few affordable fan fret or multi-scale guitars. And I thought this was an absolutely fantastic instrument for you know, all of the trying I could do to sort of play a 7-string.
I mean, if you just look at the specs, so you've got things like locking tuners. EMG 707s. You've also got 5-piece neck. So it's maple and purple heart on the neck. It's bound all the way around. Like you said, it's got the spalted maple top. It looks phenomenal. it looks really, really good. And, you know, for someone who I'm not really into kind of metal guitars, this errs on the right side of that, I think. You know, it's very much that modern style.
Yeah.
You know, where they've gone for the sported maple and they've gone for really understated colours. It's a kind of, they call it purple burst, I think.
Even though it's green.
Well, there's two, actually. So we've got the Stardust Green. It's Stardust.
Yeah, we've got Stardust Green.
There is Stardust Black, but it's got like a hint of kind of purpley in it.
Yeah.
These are super cool. You know, I'm not sure how we're going to demo it because the chances of any of us playing fan fret seven strings is pretty minimal. Matt, you might be able to give it a go.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows? The other thing we got, because they also sent us a bass, but exactly the same story, exactly the same thing. We got a five-string fan fret.
Single cut as well.
It's a single cut. And you know, listening, you know, when you get the single cut on basses, but the top non-cut bit like goes right up into the neck, so it like joins at the 12th fret, and then you have sort of all this, you know, access, as it were, on the other side. So this again, yeah, fan fret five string, like with these massive, I think they're EMGs again. They're Bartolini's.
Yeah, they are Bartolini pickups.
Bartolini pickups with like a three band active EQ, again, monorail bridge. This one, I'm not sure it's spalted. What would you call that sort of wood?
What do they call it? That's the question.
I was looking to see if they
call it sported maple top.
It's sported, yeah, but it's like a more natural finish, and
it's got less burl to it.
Yeah, it's less burly, but still quite sporty.
I think this looks great for me. This, like, price wise, these are £867.
Yeah,
no, £876, I should say. And it's got a lot of tough competition at that price point.
True, but features-wise, for £800, and you're talking about, like, and it's Bartolini active circuitry as well. It's not even in-house circuitry. So, like, on paper, this is an extremely good... Is it Hipshot? I think it might even be Hipshot.
Like the rail bridge.
And the tuners.
They are Hipshot ultralight tuners, yeah. Yeah, the bridge is not. The bridge is quartz iron design.
Right, but it's still, you know, monorail bridge pieces, which is, you know, fantastic. I just thought the whole thing, I was like, man, this is great. And again, I know at £800 you're competing with Ibanez offer a lot of SRs that are very similar, and the BTB series around that sort of price point.
Are they not more money now?
They're probably
for
more money now, though, aren't they?
Are Ibanez still doing the single cut?
Probably. I don't know. It was...
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
It was relatively popular. And you remember Ibanez went through that phase where they did like a Purple Heart fretboard version of the single cut.
They are doing the single cut. It is priced at £889.
Right.
Or around that kind of money. Yeah. So they're coming in at about the same price. The spec is, I guess, probably quite similar.
I mean, I think Ibanez are using Bartolini. Ibanez are using Bartolini or Nordstrand at that sort of price point.
They are Bartolini's. Yeah. So, yeah, not much to actually to kind of separate these two price-wise and... spec wise,
which I don't know if that's a smart move, especially by Core. You'd say sort of with the brand power of Ibanez, you'd want to undercut them if you're only going to spec match.
Yeah, difficult, really. Although I kind of prefer the look of the Core. The shape of the Ibanez is bonkers.
I really like the look of the Core headstock on basses. This sort of squashed square headstock.
Yeah, yeah. I think
it's got a bit more character.
Yeah, I think it's cool. The Ibanez one is too mad for me. Blimey.
Yeah.
It's a BTB. You know, they're always kind of super chunky anyway. But yeah, the single cut is...
The BTB is kind of this... It's something that started life being totally like super metal.
Yeah.
And they've tried to make it tasteful over the years, but the... You know, it's got this the slightly demonic looking headstock and they haven't quite been able to
get rid of that. For me, the like... the upper, like, bout, the upper kind of...
so
where the top horn would be, but, you know, yeah. Now there's just a single
We need to
crop.
Come up with a name for it's that. Just Both ridiculous. Of us have struggled to name that
It looks
area.
Like you could just eat your dinner off that bit. That's it, bonkers. Just lay out a little fried breakfast on there and smash it away.
Yeah, it's a bit of a weird one. But yes, the certainly the Core AX5 is lovely. Again, like, a bit of a weird one. Super playable.
I just want one
lovely
of these
low action.
You know, looking at those two, I just want one of these Sunset TCs now. This looks like it could actually be
I think they're going to be really good. I think incredible. We should get back in touch, try and get hold of one, because I reckon that is a Guitar Nerd's guitar. That's a guitar
yeah,
that
definitely.
Guitar Nerds should own.
They're £350.
£350, and it's relict, and the two colours are cool. The only thing that could be better about this is if they did it in a dirty shell pink.
Oh, even less than that. If you buy one on Reverb.com.
Oh, for goodness sake. I can't believe you got in another
£270
and
55
pence. How dare you use
this
podcast as something to push?
I mean, this is I think this is used.
Yeah.
Right? Brand new, £270 quid.
Banging.
Lovely.
Banging. What a great guitar. Anyway, speaking of Reverb, before we move on to some news.
News.
I wanted to talk about eBay.
Okay. Don't say those horrible words around here. Bringing your eBay around here.
What I'm saying is that I should have used Reverb.
Yes.
And I'm thinking about moving. So I'm selling some stuff. So obviously, listener, you might know...
Before you get into this, sorry, can I just say that before anyone accuses this of being like a paid spot or like a push.
I don't care what they think or say.
We didn't talk about this before you arrived here.
No.
And then you just said, literally before you press record, you just went, I'm going to talk about how I had a really bad time on eBay.
Yeah. Because I have. I would be talking about this. Well, I don't even have to talk about this to push Reverb, really. I could just talk about this as being like, I've just had a negative time on eBay, you know. And I'm not sure. I'm aware that I'm a gear snob. So I tried to take that into consideration, but I was still a bit annoyed. So, listener, as you might know, I've recently purchased a 1969 Fender Precision Bass. When I say I recently purchased, I mean I used the deposit money that my girlfriend had just got back from when we moved house. And so now, bear in mind, that was...
You're in arrears.
Yeah, that was like the end of December. And so now she is a bit like, you need to give me that £2,000 back because I'm getting charged interest on the credit card that money...
She should charge you interest for it.
Yeah, well, she kind of is.
She's got no interest in you,
rightly
mate.
So. She shouldn't do. She's mad. But yes, I really do need to pay her back. So I was like, right, I've been meaning to do this for ages. I'm going to sort out some gear and work out what I'm going to sell. So I found a few things. A few pedals and a few instruments, guitars and basses. For what it's worth, the pedals all sold, no problem. The guitars, on the other hand. So the one thing in particular that I listed is this. Oh no, this is going out before the listing ends. This is just going to encourage people to. Should I not say what the instrument is? Then no one will know.
Yeah, that's fine, because otherwise you're going to have a ton of people just sending you like lowball offers just for fun.
So I listed a particular bass guitar, which is it's really difficult to do without saying what it is. It is by a particular brand that would do something that is of an incredibly high caliber.
It's a prestige instrument.
It's
not Ibanez though.
No, it's not an Ibanez prestige. It's a It is an absolute top-notch limited run instrument, an example.
I'm going to see if I can guess what it is, because you didn't tell me what it was
before.
Didn't
I? You should know what it is, because we talk about me selling this all the time. But it's very good, okay? And I am selling it for a very reasonable price, because I really do need to... I went in low, okay? But I did the stupid thing, and I hit the option that says that I'll also take offers. And it's just been like people contacting me, being like offering me like half price of what it is. And I know how much stuff is worth. I know how this stuff works. I know how value works on instrument. I am very well versed in the value of things when it comes to guitars. And just somebody, I can't help but be personally offended by them. I know it's just people seeing.
Yeah, it's just people just fishing.
I can't help but be like really offended by it. Anyway, so that was bad enough. And then, like, one fella was like, "How about I offer you this amount of money?" Which was, this is difficult to tell. The story is not giving any particulars. So he was like, "How about I offer you, 400 quid," which is very low. That's
people are going to search for £800 £1,200 bases now.
Yeah, but okay, so it's less than
£1,600 bases,
right? And a Hagstrom Viking base,
just what you always wanted.
I was like, I'm selling like a custom built high end example. Why on earth would I want to trade in and get like an Indonesian made relatively unpopular hollow body? But like, what, why would anyone selling something like that want that and this? And so I was like, yeah, you know, I responded, I'm polite, and I was like, I'm not actually looking for swaps. I said that I am actually trying to pay my girlfriend back some money that I owe her. So, you know, no swaps, it's the price is what it is. And he was like, he came back to me and he was like, okay, how about 700 quid? it was like, how about 750 quid and a Boss? And a Zoom B3.
Wait, what is a Zoom B3? Is that the little effects pedal?
Yeah, it's,
okay. It's Do you think it's just like rooting around in a cupboard somewhere, like, going, oh, I've got this.
This is still unbelievably low for the thing. And I was just like, oh, God. Anyway, I was like, well, I'm not going to waste my time replying, because, you know, I was trying not to be, maybe I'm being a bit of a snob. I'm trying not to be rude. So I was like, I'm just not going to reply. It's, you know, someone's going to buy it anyway. I don't need to reply. And then he came back a day later and was like, I see you are not impressed with my offer. Well,
it's like, yeah, obviously.
He was like, how about this? Well, I think, first of all, he asked what the lowest I would go is. Okay. So I replied to him and I said, look, the lowest I'd go is this. And he was like, okay, well, I can't stretch to that. So how about this amount of money, which is now less than I said is the lowest I'm meant to go. And he was like, I'll offer you that. But I have a friend who's interested in one of the other guitars that you're selling.
He can pay you by Western Union.
Yeah. He was like, he's interested in this other guitar. And this is just a cheapie that I was selling that was like a couple of hundred quid. And he was like, how about we buy both of them together and we'll give you X amount for both of them. But the amount that he offered me for both of them together was still less than I'm listing the one guitar that we're talking about. So I was like, I can't, why am I still having this conversation with this guy about this guitar? It's like, so essentially what you've done is message me and been like, I see you want this amount of money for this one guitar. How about you sell me two guitars and I give you less money than you're asking for one of them? In what world was I ever going to go for that?
You know my answer to all of this.
What?
Reverb.com.
And that concludes our Reverb advert for today. Anyway, we should move on and talk about some news.
News.
Okay, so first of all, before we talk about the news, we're using You know, because we're not at Jay Cross's house, we actually leave all the podcast equipment at Jay Cross's.
Are you leaving this in the podcast?
Yeah, this is in the podcast.
Okay.
That's what, what's wrong with that?
Okay. Well, a bit weird.
No, it's not a bit weird. And it's just, we leave all the podcast equipment at Jay Cross's, which includes a lovely Zoom H6.
Yeah.
Which has a really visible screen.
It's so great. It's backlit. It's colourful. Like, it's, it sort of looks like a mini computer.
Exactly. It's great. So I can see at any point how far we are through the podcast. So I know roughly when to queue up the next section. But this one, we're using an H5, which is only the grade down. I thought I'd just bring an H5.
Good little unit.
Great little unit. Screen's not backlit and it's really dim in this room. So every now and again, I have to pick it up and sort of move it around in the light to try and see how far through the actual podcast.
How far in are we?
We're like 41 minutes, so we're quite
41?
Good. I know.
Blimey, we better rattle through this news.
Yeah, well, I've already done the jingle.
Oh, really?
Fine. Yeah, we're in.
You didn't leave much space for that.
Yeah, it's fine. Oh. You know, you can sort of, if you can sort of zoom in on the audio, put a little chop in.
Lovely.
Yeah, it'd be great. Anyway, first up, we should talk about, are we doing it in order? Are you happy to do it in order? Have you got something you want to talk about first?
Yeah, let's do it in order. So the biggest bit of news this week, I guess, is that, or the biggest kind of guitar news, is that Gibson have announced a kind of rejigging of the Custom Shop lineup for 2019. So some of these, I'll go through all of them. Some of them I'll do very quickly because some of them are less interesting than others. And some of them also kind of already existed.
Yeah. Well, there's 23
new models, kind of, because some
it's
of them
very exciting
are already in the line.
It's kind of it's a thinning out. You know, it's the strongest.
Well,
that
it's
prevailed.
It's basically just what they've done with the electric, you know, the regular production line stuff. In that they've actually just done stuff that makes sense. So, I'll go through in the order.
Can we talk about the most most coolest one?
Well, I'm not sure this is the coolest. I mean, it is very cool, but also they were making these before. I've played one of these.
Have you?
Yeah, these were announced.
So let's tell the listener what we're talking about.
Yeah, sorry. So this is the Les Paul Special Double Cut Figured Top. I'm not sure if they were figured top before, but they've definitely done this guitar. So it's a top bound Les Paul Special with two humbuckers. With figure top, so they're in like a range of sunbursts.
Gorgeous plate. Is that the normal plate cuff?
Yeah.
Is it?
Well, kind of, because it's humbuckers, so it's shaped differently than it would be for P90s. This is a super cool guitar, but like I said, to our listeners, most of you will have seen this before. I think we even talked about it before.
Did we?
Yeah, I played one when I was in Chicago Music Exchange.
Oh.
So they were definitely around before. I wonder, though, they may have been a Chicago Music Exchange
exclusive limited
edition.
Ooh, maybe.
So maybe they've opened it up to the wider.
$4,500.
Yeah, but also bear in mind that Gibson pricing is always weird when we're talking about MSRP.
Right.
Because the guitars never appear for that. So the price, I assume these prices have come directly from the Gibson website.
Oh, okay.
They never, and we talked about this when we talked about the 2019 range, the guitars are never that much money. So bear that in mind. So that's the Les Paul Special Double Cut. They're also doing the 60th anniversary 1959 Les Paul Standard. So they've kind of done a weird thing with the Les Pauls this year, like the standards, in that there is a 58 Les Paul Standard, a 1960 Les Paul Standard, but then they're branding the 1959 as the 60th anniversary 1959.
Right.
There's nothing, I don't think, on it that means that it's an anniversary guitar. Yeah, it's just, again, you know, they describe it as the laser scan dimensions, chemically recreated plastics, colour matching the shades of sunburst, which is what they're doing for all the guitars. This one's just called the 60th anniversary because it is the 60th anniversary.
I mean, it's still absolutely gorgeous.
Well, yeah, it looks absolutely incredible. All three of those guitars do, you know, the 58, the 59 and the 60 look amazing. But they're not too much different from what Gibson's been doing the last few years with the custom shops. Same for the 57. So there's a 57 gold top, right. And there's a 56 gold top, which is the P90 version. Again, these don't stray too far from the guitars that we've seen previously. And there's also a 68 Les Paul Custom. So that is the historically correct to 68 Les Paul Custom.
Yeah.
Now, alongside that, there is also a modern Les Paul Custom, simply called the Les Paul Custom. So this is not, hasn't got the aged binding of the 68, and I believe has, yeah, 490s and 498 humbuckers. So okay, that kind of modern sounding pickup. But everything else, as you would expect, you know, it's the multiple ply binding, it's the block inlays, gold hardware, things that we see a lot on Les Pauls, Les Paul Customs. Where we don't see that very much is on Gibson's other shapes. So Gibson have announced the Firebird, Explorer, SG, and Flying V Custom. So these are basically taking the aesthetic stylings of the Les Paul Custom. So the ebony finish, the colour they call ebony, so black finish, ebony fretboard, gold hardware, block inlays, but then and the multiple ply binding, and applying that to the other shapes.
It looks outrageously good.
Yeah. So on
the Firebird
especially, looks phenomenal. The SG looks like an SG with the.
The SG doesn't actually get the binding that the others get.
No, it doesn't on the body itself. I think that would be a little hard to do. I don't think I've ever seen an SG.
Well, you'd have
with
to you'd have to change the shape. You'd have to have the outer shape of the SG only, I guess.
Yeah, that would be very weird. But what's weird is obviously, you know, SG Custom is kind of known as the three pickup antique ivory guitar. But
done it as a three pickup version.
Yeah,
be three pickup.
Yeah, they haven't actually done any three pickup instruments with this refresh. So there's not like a black beauty. And then the Flying V Custom looks great as well. Top bound, and yeah, with the kind of the custom inlay on the headstock, looks absolutely fantastic. So SGs, aside from the new custom, there's also a 61 Les Paul Standard, which is stop tail piece, and a 64, which has got the Maestro Vibrola.
Outrageous.
On there.
Outrageously good.
So basically leaning into what they've done on the production line guitars this year. They're doing a stop tail piece and
everything should have that
Vibrola option. On to the kind of what we would, I guess, call the student models. There's a 57 Les Paul Special, which available in TV yellow. There's a Les Paul Special double cut, which is available in cherry.
It looks fantastic.
And then in terms of the single pickup versions, there's a 57 Les Paul Junior and a 58 double cut Junior, which looks
incredible. My goodness. The 58 double cut, it's cream.
It's TV yellow.
Is it TV yellow?
Yeah.
Is that TV yellow?
Yeah, it just looks a bit weird on the screen.
It does look a bit weird on the screen. With that sort of gorgeous, like, tiger taut guard. That's a really good looking guitar.
Yes,
indeed. It is $3,799.
Yes, but I suspect these are going to be much closer to the originals than the current production line stuff.
Yeah.
So I heard some reports that the production line stuff have got fairly slim necks, and these, I imagine, will have fairly chunky necks. So if you want that authentic Les Paul Junior experience, this is going to be as close as you can get. They look great. There's not too much to shout about, really, because the spec is as it should be.
Yeah.
Gibson are just really righting the ship this year. They're not doing anything particularly outlandish.
No, it's all safe, it's just, and tasteful and really, really good.
Yeah,
in
theory. Totally. Where they have strayed from the spec is on the kind of smattering of modern guitars that are in there. So they've basically built out a range of Les Paul Access guitars. So you've got the Les Paul Access Custom. So these are thinner body with this the shaped heel, contoured heel. Floyd Rose on this one, ebony board, block inlays. It's like, it's a Les Paul Custom, but with the Access features.
Yeah.
They also have done an Access Standard. So similar thing, you know, it's, I believe, a rosewood board. Hasn't got that spec here, but I'd imagine it'd be rosewood board. It's got the Floyd Rose, it's flame maple top, and it looks like a Les Paul Standard again, but with the Access features. And then there's one more Access guitar, which is the Les Paul Access Custom figure top. So this is no Floyd Rose, stop tail piece, ridiculous flame top, in a cherry sunburst, but it's like eye-watering.
That's a really heavy heavy cherry sunburst.
No scratch plate on that, so they're really showing off the top there. This is going after your PRS player, basically. Oh,
absolutely.
And again, it's got the sculpted heel on there. Gold hardware. This is incredibly bling.
Yeah.
It's a PRS. Too bling, it's a PRS style guitar. So, yeah, they're basically, they've done everything that we've asked them to do. They've built out the...
Even a PRS made by a proper company.
Well, I'm not sure I agree with that statement, but... what they've done is they've done some interesting new bits in that they've, you know, put the custom aesthetics on a whole range of guitars.
Yeah.
They've sorted out the historic models and they're trying some new stuff, but not on the models that you don't want the new stuff to be on. Right. It's not like they've done, you know, Les Paul Junior and all the Les Paul Juniors have got the sculpted heel.
No.
They've kept all the modern features off to the side on their own thing. And if you want that, Gibson are making it for you.
Speaking of modern features that Gibson are want for, I'm going slightly out of the order.
Yeah, where are you going with this?
Well, we all remember Gibson's success with the robot tuners.
Oh, I know where you're going with
this. In fact, everyone was appalled and felt very let down when Gibson decided to abandon the robot tuners. So very fortunately, now you can buy a regular Gibson, or any guitar for that matter. Well, this is the bass version.
And, yeah, you've been able to do this for a while on any guitar.
I know.
The key thing here is the bass.
Bass. Well, tell us about it.
So this is from Band Industries, the Rode Bass Tuner. So a little while ago, Band Industries released the Rode Tuner. And what it is, essentially, is a tuner that does, you know, it's an external product that does the job of the Gibson robot tuner. Well,
yeah.
Not the Gibson robot tuners, but any robot tuner.
It's not something you have permanently fitted.
No, exactly. It's a handheld device you put on the machine head.
Like you would a string winder.
Exactly. But it's also got a tuner built in. So you pop it on the machine head, you hit the string that you want to tune, and, well, you tell it which string you're going to tune. Tell it which string you're going to tune. Pop it on the machine head, hit the string, and then it'll automatically wind the string to that pitch. The key with this one is, because the original one didn't do bass, this one now is bigger. It's kind of got a bigger slot that you can put the machine head into. And it's obviously set up for bass tunings. One of the things for me was it restrings at 40 revolutions per minute. So...
That means nothing to me.
Well, it will basically wind the string very, very quickly.
Right.
So you could, I would imagine, you can put the string on from almost slack.
I reckon I could turn a tuner 40 times in 60 seconds.
I bet you couldn't. We should test that.
One, two,
why don't
three,
we get
four,
one of these?
Five, six. That's less than, you know, that's less than like one turn a second.
Why don't we get one of these and we'll do a tuning challenge?
Yeah.
The Rode versus the Branton.
Oh, I'm terrible at tuning.
Yeah, I know.
I'm
exactly.
awful at tuning. Do you know, the other day at band practice, I left my bass in drop C for a song that was in D standard.
No one even noticed.
No, they did. They all kept looking at me, and I was like, I don't know why everyone's looking at me. I must look great.
On a similar thing, talking about my band practice the other day, we hadn't rehearsed for 6 weeks, and I took my P bass out of the case, and it was in tune.
Mm-hmm. Really,
it just works.
Yeah, my 1969 P bass is sort of, you know, in tune from like it just like stays in tune.
Yeah,
I don't
know. P bass, it's the way to go. Anyway, so this looks fun. We should get one and we should do a tuning challenge. Joe versus the Rode. I'm totally up for that.
Yes, we should. Right, we are actually running out of time, and there's so much more cool stuff. But we have to surely talk about the smallest effects pedal in the history of the world.
So this is the Zoom GCE3, which looks. I saw a picture of it, and I was like, that doesn't look that small, because, you know, you've got the foot switches, so that'll be roughly a foot size, and there's three of them across. And then I saw a picture of it next to a guitar pick and realised that actually the switches are just cosmetic.
So
what this is...
This is like, do you remember when people were obsessed with, like, phones were getting smaller and smaller?
Yeah.
Is it Zoolander that has a tiny phone?
The tiny phone. This is Zoolander's effects pedal. Yeah. So basically what Zoom have done is they've built a box that looks like one of their multi-effects pedals, but actually what it is housing is a little sound card. And the idea being that you plug your guitar in, you USB out to a computer of some sort, and you can then control it from there. So you can either control it Mac or Windows, and then it's got a... headphone out thing. Yeah, standard guitar input, aux stereo input, and headphone output. So I guess the idea with this is that you are doing like practice with it.
Yeah,
playing on headphones, and you can download new amps through the app. Yeah, it's like a cool little thing. I don't know how much they're going to be. Is there a price attached?
It's really disappointing that none of the buttons do anything. They're just a visual aid.
Yes.
Why aren't they real? I want tiny buttons.
I mean, I'm not sure you'd be able to do anything.
Yeah.
With that. It's so
small. You'd have to have a pair of tweezers. That would be awesome. And it could come with a set of tweezers for you to change settings.
I think if someone stopped you and you had some tweezers in your gig bag, they'd be incredibly worried about what you're up to.
Well, maybe.
Maybe not with you. People know what they're getting.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think it's cool. Anyway, we don't really have time for any other news.
There's tons of other cool stuff to talk about.
I can't believe Tysco are back.
Yeah. Yeah, we should talk about that. Should we talk about that in the Patreon?
Yeah, maybe. We'll talk about that in the Patreon. We've got some other cool stuff to talk about in the Patreon, but yeah, we'll move on.
Let's round up the news in the Patreon, yeah. And then we've also got other stuff to be chatting about.
Yes. Okay, listeners. Well, that does bring us to the close of the regular episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast. But as we mentioned, we'll be continuing over on the Patreon, where for as little as $1, you can support the podcast. $1 a month gets you the regular episode ad-free and early. $5 a month gets you the Patreon episode and our new series, Hall of Fame. And $10 a month makes you an executive producer and gets your name read out in one breath by me.
Ugh. Yeah.
I really need to write down my outro again.
Yeah, got it written down. That's the thing. It's so weird. I managed to do
well
it for like
2 years
or however long without writing it down.
All right.
So do you want to read the names
out
now?
I'm going to read the names out.
Okay,
I'm going to read our executive backer $10 super people out now.
And I'll do a song that goes like this.
Aaron Sherman, Adam Rice, Chris, Adrian Day, Andrew Cuddy, Andy McKenzie, Blair Thomas, Brad Page, Colin Spencer, Crystal Fratton, Christopher Scott, Cuppinson, Christopher Lawson, Dave Lee, Derek Rick, DJ Marcos, Duncan Watson, Everyday Jacob, Ernie Cooper, Hans Hans, Jake Cutmore, Jake Curry, Jamie Kemp, Warren Dyer, Ken Sayers, Chris Connors, Laurie Anstis, Martin Cliff, Matt Bellamy, Matt Roberts, Matthew King, Michael McGrory, Moe Crowett, Nate Nagel, Paul Corrigan, Bill Thompson, Ron Crowell, Rob Nordwick, Ron Cron, Rob Cousins, Rob Smith, Ross Edwards, Scott O'Brien, Scott Sumlin, Scott Hamilton, Scott Kennedy, Scott Arvold, Stephen N, Steve Michael, Stuart Tate, Patoma, McDonald, Tucker, Abaddon, Will Cron, Conan O'Dorthorn.
I mean, both of us seem particularly out of breath after that one. It's tough when you got it on your own. Normally Jay like backs up and then we take it in turns to do breaths. And then no one will notice that the smooth gaps in between our singing.
It was a tough one. Anyway, that is it for us. From us. God, without having the notes here,
I'm really bad at this.
I'm terrible at this. Anyway, that is it from us for this week. We'll catch you next week for some more guitar nerdery. Farewell.
Bye-bye.